Hey, you are listening to The Back Porch. I'm your host, Kylie Joe, and I love hearing people's passions, stories, and their purpose in a real and authentic way. So grab a cup of coffee and get ready. So today's episode, I have a gal on here that is so passionate about so many things, and we don't even scratch the surface in this episode. I will love to bring her back another time. I need to do a series just with her, but today gets pretty real. She shares her story about coming to know Jesus and her story about what her purpose is right now in this life and what God is speaking to her about. So I am so excited for you guys to meet this girl. I should say lady. Please welcome to the back porch, Beth Bangert. Hey everyone, this is Kylie and I have Beth here. I sound like a man, so I apologize in advance. I'm going to make Beth talk most of the time. But you guys already heard a little bit intro in the introduction of Beth. So we're just going to kind of welcome her, jump into her God story today. So we're super excited about hearing how God's moved in her life, which I know snippets and it's big ways. So, all right, welcome to the back porch.
Hello.
I'm glad we're in your beautiful office in Here We Grow.
Yeah.
So it's a daycare, nature center. How do you say that?
Nature Early Childhood Center.
Okay. So yeah, which my kids go here. And so that's how Beth and I met. And basically we met through Jen, my sister. So who's Beth's best friend. So we basically share a best friend. So I'm excited to hear your story. And like, we kind of talked about it a little before we started recording and kind of what we're going to get into, and it's going to get deep. So
buckle up for safety.
That's like her. It's like her life motto. All right. So first things, bring us into talk about how you were brought up. Like how.
Sure.
Yeah. When it comes to like religion and family. Yeah.
So I was raised Lutheran, Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, which is real in a box. So I went to Lutheran grade school, high school, and I actually ended up in Minnesota because I went to college at MLC in New Ulm. So my whole life was all raised Lutheran.
Wow. And you're not Lutheran today.
I am not Lutheran today.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that later too.
Yes, we will.
Okay. So you were brought up in the church. You went to school in the church, basically. How was that? Like what?
My whole life was spent in the church. My dad was the church president of the congregation for a number of years, president of the school board, on the school board. My mom did the bookkeeping for the school. I did sports, but I also played the organ.
Yep.
Getting
musical over here. For real.
Sang. Yeah. Taught vacation Bible school, taught Sunday school, did all the church things.
Yeah.
My whole life was immersed in that because that was tied to the school I went to.
Right.
So everything was around that.
So when you went to college, did anything change? Or like even in high school, did you have any moments where you were like rebellious or, you know, like you hear Christian school kids, it's not always fun. It's not always what you think it is. You know, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff going on that people don't want to talk about.
I was pretty, I don't want to say sheltered. That's a weird word. I don't know what else to say besides sheltered.
Yeah.
I wasn't really rebellious. I'm a rule follower.
Yeah.
I wasn't rebellious, I would say, but in high school I started dating a guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say names or anything, but I started dating a guy and something happened, in my parents' basement.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was sexually assaulted. And when you want that only to be with one person, you have a choice to make. You either stay with that person.
Right. Wow.
Or you talk about it. What was done to me, I'm not going to say.
Okay.
But I will say that it's not something I would have known was a thing people did. So
sure,
I was like, wow, if I tell someone that something happened, this is going to be worse than anything. And my dad always said, like, if anyone does anything to you, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
So I kept it to myself and stayed in that relationship all the way through college. almost all the way through college. We were together for almost 4 years.
Did he go to the same college with you?
He did.
And he knew what happened?
Yeah. So, I mean, looking back, he came to town when I was like in seventh grade and left mysterious notes in my locker and like weird, inappropriate things that shouldn't have been said. Like after confirmation one day, I got a letter and it was, we went to play mini golf after and he was, I can't stop thinking about how you swung that club in bad. And I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Like, no, thank you.
Yeah. A little inappropriate.
A little inappropriate, kind of uncomfortable. And also, no offense to people who date, quote unquote, in seventh and eighth grade.
Yeah.
You like sit at the lunch table and who cares? I didn't care about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I ended up dating him, which is I could do a whole story about that. So I'll just say I ended up dating him and I went to college and it got worse. And this girl who lived across the hall.
Yeah.
It was a 3 foot street.
Yeah.
She came into my room one day and she went to public school growing up and she's like, I know what's going on in there and it's not okay.
Mm.
And so we became best friends in college and she was one of the few people who believed me. So I told the administration and they tried to cover it up and I got an order for protection. They kept putting in the same class as me. And I remember,
swallow that down. Just kidding.
I remember thinking, well, my whole life has been spent in this system, which I will call it a system. The ecclesia is very different than these man-made churches and systems. So I spent my whole life in this system. And then as soon as I said what was happening, it's like they all walked away, which is the weirdest feeling ever. So I remember walking. Wow. Yeah. I just remember walking past the dorm going towards Flandro. And I said, I don't understand. I even wrote in one of my diaries or journals I found that said, if you made Eve for Adam, I don't understand why they let men do this to women and cover it up. And other girls by that time had come to me and said that they knew what had happened to me and that it happened to them too. And it all just gets squashed. So,
right. Of course it does. They don't want a PR problem.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Oh, you can't say that. Here, go to our counselor. That's also paid for by the same organization. Hard pass.
Yeah.
Did that. Super awkward.
Right.
Man. Are you sure that happened to you? Pretty sure I was there. Are you sure you didn't want it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. Jeez.
So after that, I graduated from there and left, that system altogether.
Okay.
But I stayed in New Ulm and lived there and worked at the public school for 3 years while I waitressed two jobs and put myself through grad school.
I did not know that. That's cool. Yeah. You got your graduate degree?
Mm-hmm.
In what?
My master's is in educational leadership.
Oh, cool. Well, that's perfect. That's what you're doing, basically.
Yeah. That's cool. I love that.
So you worked your way through graduate school.
Worked my way through graduate school. Decided I wasn't really going to date anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then decided, well, I'll buy a house. I bought a house when I was 22 in New Ulm and lived there.
Wow.
Then I went on Match.com and ended up meeting my current husband.
What? I did not know you met on Match.com.
You're learning all these things
before it became popular.
Before it was popular.
Before it's like everybody has a Tinder or whatever it's called.
At our wedding, everyone's like, oh, did they pay for your wedding? No, that was a commercial. They don't actually pay for your wedding.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. So, and so how long have you been married now? 5 years?
We've been married 5 years. We've been together for a little over 10 years.
So now you're in Mankato. You have a house in right down the road.
Yeah. Yep. Not too far from here.
So
I met your sister at Bethlehem. Yep. We are
for the because they had a daycare.
They had a daycare there. Yeah. And I worked there. We worked there together for a year. And then I said,
it was 1 year. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I thought it was longer than that. Okay.
It felt longer.
Oh my gosh.
He was like, nope. So the church decided to close the center. And I decided to open Here We Grow, which today is their 7 year anniversary.
Yeah. Happy anniversary. Yeah. So many things have happened in 7 years.
Yeah.
So like you had the little small building and now we're in the add-on right now.
This actually was the toddler room.
This was the toddler room. I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay. And then, over there is where my kids are at. That's so crazy. Cause now it's like, it's a nature school. Like it's so much fun. So, and you guys have plans, which I'm excited. We don't have to talk about those, but you have many plans coming that
we'll just come back later when the Lord says it's
I know exactly when he actually tells you like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you're here
and
you're doing a lot of things. Well, I'm honestly, guys, I'm going to bring her back for everything else that I want. I'm going to have like a Beth series There's a lot of things I want to talk about with her. But I think, so you're doing, I mean, you're up at the Capitol, you're doing your Minnesota Citizen page, right?
Yep. Citizen lobbyist.
Yep. And you're into politics, you're doing all that. You have a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
So how are you? Like, how is Beth doing with all the things?
All of the things.
Yeah.
Well, Beth was not involved in all of the things until October of 2017, which is really like where the story of God in my life really amps up.
Sure.
So like your sister and I prayed in this parking lot when I was looking for buildings in July of 2012.
Yeah, let's start there. I like that story.
Let's start with this story.
Okay.
So I grew up in the Wisconsin Lutheran Synod where you can't pray with anyone outside of your synod.
Yep.
You can stand there and bow your head, but you don't do it. So I'm like, Jen, we should pray about this before I like sign my life away and all of my assets, which were not very many. And she's like, okay, go ahead. And I'm like...
Oh, no.
No, you do it because I can't do this.
And like, this was how many? 7 years ago.
Yeah. So this was, yeah.
Well,
so
July, I'm
sorry. So in July of 2012.
Yeah.
And so she prayed in the parking lot and I stood there because
so
I was still like getting out of the brainwashing, like mm-hmm. not to be offensive to anyone. But when you grow up in that, it's like, oh, this is how it's done.
Well, it's how you're brought up. That's all you know.
Yeah.
So then Jen prayed for the...
She prayed that God would use us for his purpose.
That's so cool.
Which, ta-da!
Hello, we're here.
Yeah, so that's things were so going along fantastically well, and I added on in, I think that was like 2017, actually, we opened that other new side, and we're on 2 acres in the country, and a kiddo fell from a 47-inch slide in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, I think that was actually in September of 2017, and... You have to report it to the state. So I did that, like, whatever, follow all their dumb policies and procedures and 50,000 pounds of paperwork. And then I didn't hear anything. So I assumed it was fine.
Right. You just did your job.
Just did my job. Yeah. And then in October of 2017, I was not sleeping super well. And I was waiting for my loan for the infant renovation for the older side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And God showed me some things that I will later discuss that were going to happen. And one of them that was that I was like testifying in front of a bunch of legislators. And I was like, that's funny.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I don't know how to do any of that. And so in the background, I had like KEYC on and that weather guide that drones on when me fall asleep. So I was trying to listen to that and it's like the local time is blah, blah, blah. And God's like, you're going to do these things. And also, you're going to be ending up in like exposing a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, how is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't do that. And he's like, you're going to compile data. I'm like, data for what? You want me to do what? And so I had a total Moses moment. I'm like,
I was just going to say, I just read about Moses. Yeah.
You need to pick someone else to do this because I don't know anything about politics. I don't know how to really compile data. And I don't even know what data I'm going to compile.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do any of those things. Eventually I fell asleep and gave in and woke up.
Okay.
And 3 days later, the state called and said, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm calling from the Minnesota Department of Human Services to inform you that you're being investigated for maltreatment of a child.
I remember when all this happened.
And I was like,
it was emotional.
Yeah. I was like, what? And they said, yeah, you're being investigated. We'll let you know when it is. We're going to come down. And it's for a kid falling off literally a slide that's less than 4 foot tall.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I actually told your sister because we shared enough at the time.
Mm-hmm.
God said, you're going to do a Facebook Live about this. And I'd only ever done one in my life. And so I did a Facebook Live, like raw emotion of,
yeah, I
just got a call from the state. It went viral. People were like, the same thing happened to me. Other kids are getting lost in the community. So fast forward,
right?
Like we stood on our front lawn and called the news crew in and the state wouldn't give us any answers. And I had to find out who our senator and representatives were. And I'd been to the Capitol a little bit when I worked for the public school,
sure,
but not like, I didn't understand how it worked. So I like to use their little computer thing, enter your zip code. Who represents me? Who are these people?
Yeah. It's like, most people don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh, okay. We have 3 people that represent us. Let's call them.
Yeah.
And so I called them and our senator actually got the Department of Human Services to fork over what the process was. The funny thing is, the morons up there, like, maybe I should call them morons, but...
And we're there.
We've arrived. So, Bucks, they date stamped the bottom. Like, they, oh, here's this document we've had. It is dated October of 2017. You created it and uploaded it to your e-docs because you were in super panic mode. Right. Because I pushed back against the system. So, ended up having a town hall meeting that fall. Mm-hmm. And there were over 50 people there. And our senator's like, wow, you got more people to come than people come to my town halls. I'm like, okay, thank you. And he goes, congratulations on winning. And I said, winning what? And he goes, on being cleared. And Jen looks at me and is like, we were cleared? And he's like, whoa. Yeah. I'm like, we didn't get a letter yet.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, shoot. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be in the mail or something soon. It came like 3 days later. So how did he know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just crazy.
That is crazy.
So then God said to me, you're going to compile public data to prove that what people are saying that DHS is railing on childcare providers is true. Mm-hmm. So I said, that's impossible because I was still having a Moses moment.
Yeah. Somebody else, please.
Pick someone else. I don't have the resources to do that. I don't have enough staff. I can't do this by myself. And a person who was working here, it actually worked out where someone else wanted more hours and she helped me compile data. And somehow magically the state during that period actually paid me on time, which is the miracle in itself.
Wow. That is a miracle in itself. Jeez.
And I actually met with another provider during that time who the state had shut down, was trying to shut down the center that she was running.
Yeah.
And it was just ridiculous things like leaves in the entryway and all this stuff. So anyway, I spent 3 months compiling this data.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, cool. So now I have over 3,000 pages of data. What do I do with it? And God said, go to the Capitol. So go to the Capitol, email, try and get on the list. And the Republicans were in control of the House at that time. And it was not as easy as I thought it was, which was odd because I'm conservative. Not to get super political.
Right.
And so I kind of got blocked a little bit. And then my first testimony, I actually cried and said that I begged God to pick someone else to do this because I knew I would be targeted. And it's true. I mean, I have been targeted.
Yeah.
They will find you. Well, I mean, they'll withhold payments from you and just.
I mean, the seas are going to be parted eventually and everybody else is going to be drowned.
Yeah. The truth.
I mean.
Truth is coming.
It's like, I mean, you post all the time about draining the swamp and let's not get very political, but like. To like, yes, draining the swamp, but after just reading about Moses, like, I've known that story my whole life, but thinking about you and how you just mentioned that, I was like, I mean, God's going to part the seas for all for you and whoever else is behind you on that. And then the water's going to come down on the people that no longer can be in control and pushing and targeting you. Right. Like that's literally what the story is.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, that's so cool that like God's using you for that. So I want to like pause for a second on this part of the story. Because I want to talk about, I want you to explain to people when God talks to you, or however you want to say it, God puts something on your heart, whatever, however people say it. And where you, when your faith became real in that area, because I mean, this 2017 isn't that long ago. And that's kind of where God started speaking to you about this.
Yeah.
Is that the first time that you like really heard from him when it comes to whatever?
So when I was younger, my mom was really sick and we would pray all the time that God would heal her. And he did.
Like, okay.
Someday when I get to write a book about this, like no one would, you would have to read it and then purposely deny that there's a God because it's just, there's no possible other explanation. She was having surgery and I had a vision that she was not doing well in surgery, but then she essentially like died and came back because she was in so much pain from everything.
Wow.
And I got home and I told my dad and he's like, how did you be like, I was young. You weren't going to tell you that. How would you know that?
Yeah.
I was like, oh no.
You just had a vision. Yeah.
Yeah. I just had a vision and I could see it and I saw what she was wearing. And he's like, there's no way you would know that. You weren't there. And you're like nine. I was like 8 or 9 years old. So I shared that during a religion class.
She just did quotes, P.S. everybody.
Yeah, air quotes.
Air quotes. Class.
And the person who was teaching it said, well, the Lord doesn't speak to us anymore. So you should be careful because that's Satan talking to you.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So I was like,
how is that a thing? Like, I'm just, okay, baffled.
Yeah. So I just thought I had a lot of deja vu. Like, oh, this has happened before. Oh, this has happened before.
Oh my gosh.
I just have nonstop deja vu. This is really weird.
Yeah, like it's in your dreams or you just have the thought and then it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah.
So, yeah, eventually I was just started reading the Bible on my own in between all of this churchy stuff going down with these man-made institutions and was reading about the gift of prophecy and things like that. And God does still speak to us. And he says in the Bible, in the end times, I will pour out my spirit and sons and daughters will prophesy and have visions. And that's what the Bible says. Yep. So, and it's all to show his glory. Like, as we go through this, there's no way that I could, how would I have done this on my own?
Right.
How
could I have
any of these thoughts to connect? Like, what's about to come?
Why would
in the
you
next
ever started thinking about that?
Like, right? Who's like, you know what? I'm bored. Let's compile public DHS data.
Or like even the night that God was like, you're going to testify. And you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because that's not happening. Like there's nothing 3 days later.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, you know, why would you have that thought? You know, it's not your own thought. That's what's, Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. So they're not, it's not, I think people think that it's like some movie like, Elizabeth, you must
like from
do this.
Heavens.
You will go to St. Paul. It's 74 miles from your home. You will drive in your GMC. You
go. Oh my
gosh. No, it's not what it's like. It's like, and you, it feels totally, it's, you have to test the spirits. That's what the Bible says. So pray about it. Ask two or three other trusted people like Jen. I talk to a lot. I have like four or five people I go to.
Yeah.
Make sure it doesn't go anything against the Bible, and ultimately it's for God's glory.
Right.
And I'm excited to do this podcast because that's the thing I've been waiting for, like to tell how awesome this is, what he's been doing.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited too.
Yeah. So it gets crazier.
Okay.
So that's that. So I go to St. Paul, that is in like February of 2018, release the data in May of that. And they get ignored, whatever.
Yeah.
Been like 30 days up there, get ignored. In May of 2018, we're sitting there up there and this whistleblower comes forward from the Department of Human Services and said there's a bunch of fraud. And the person compiled data sitting next to me goes, oh, good.
Oh, my gosh.
It has nothing to do with our data. So this will be the focus. And in my head, I'm like, oh, dear Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
We just uncovered a partial Ponzi scheme.
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
This is fun. So then, again, not to get political, I'm like, okay, I get invited to this dinner for not conservatives.
Yeah.
And I go and I left the dinner feeling like these people don't hold my values at all. It was all like a orange man, bad Trump derangement syndrome. Ridiculous. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
No matter what people think about Trump, it was just really hard to sit there and listen to people bash Christians and the values that I hold dear. I'm like, well, this is a hot mess. So I find out who else is running for office. To make a very long story short, I meet with this guy and end up helping with his campaign.
Okay.
During that time, I find out that you can look up who donates to campaigns. And God says to me, go see if any childcare providers have. I'm like, dude, I work in childcare. Like, this is me telling God, I work in childcare. This is not a lucrative business.
Right, right, right.
So, like, okay. So I find the person who I think has the most number of centers, enter their name in. I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of zeros.
Wow.
Who is that kind of cash? So then God said, well, what was going on legislatively? Because you donate money to get something. I mean, it's legal quid pro quo, which means you pay to play. And I don't have money to play the game. So I started looking at legislation and I'm like, wow, the child care assistance rates were set at the same time this group of people was donating money, and where this group of centers is has the highest child care assistance rates down to the penny, and they're all identical. That's impossible statistically because of market rates. So then the next year, God says to me, you're going up there a second year. You're going to start a page called Citizen Lobbyist.
Yeah.
And you're going to fight back against all these people who are paid. So I go up there as Minnesota Citizen Lobbyist, spend the entire session literally sitting there just outing what they were doing. I think I maybe testified 5 times total.
Wow.
I wasn't up there advocating for like anything. I was just exposing the swamp.
Right.
So I'm up there and I out the campaign finance and which party it's tied to. Spoiler alert, conservatives.
Oh my gosh.
So funsies. So the guy I'm helping that I helped run for office didn't win. So that was this last session that I was up there exposing the campaign finance mm-hmm. stuff. And then this summer, the Lord spoke to me about a number of things.
Oh, my gosh.
Which are exciting when I can share them. So yeah. Sometimes the Lord's like, you need to do this now. And sometimes it's like Mary, like you treasure these things right. and ponder them in your heart.
Right.
So anyway, I am going back up there next Tuesday. And this year is the rescue mission, leaving the 99 for the one, because yes. you just said the Red Sea, which is a great analogy. Yeah. That's what's going to happen after this. The truth is going to come out and
yeah.
people are going to be surprised. It's, I love working with kids, but childcare is not what people think it is. And the restoration of the family also comes in the end times.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we have people pushing for, I mean, let's do childcare till 7 at night. Let's not do that. Why are we doing this backwards? We want everyone to just work till they die. No.
Right.
And it's not to say that people shouldn't work. I think that's what people think that I'm saying. I'm just saying you shouldn't be doing this the opposite way of, oh, let's do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and hey, let these kids sleep here. No. And that's exactly. what they're advocating for. And it's tied into pharma. It's tied into so many things. And when people see what this data shows, they're just going to freak out. Excuse me.
So to like, we're going to go into it for a second because yeah. I think... We can't keep saying, let's not get political, because it got political. Let's just be real.
Got political.
It got political quick. But, and I'm okay with that, because people, you know what, people that are listening need to hear this, and so it's a good thing. But,
And we, in politics, they did that on purpose, right? They made everything political, so it's all off limits now. So,
right.
let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so I think we should go into, like, talking about why it's so important for people to know, because to be honest with you, I didn't really... care much about politics. Like, I mean, there's so many things we could talk about, but like, and I think so many people live with rose colored glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was one of them for a while. And I think once I met you and Jen kind of like telling me what you were telling her, I was just like, I had no clue what was going on or even how childcare was tied to it all. It was just like, I don't care if everybody knows, but like we have a grant to come to the school because it's really expensive for me. Like childcare, it doesn't even matter if it's the school. Childcare is just expensive all around. And that's a whole nother thing we could talk about that. Like,
yeah,
it's hard, especially when income level isn't up to par, you know, so up to like the cost of living. That's a whole nother thing. But I think then knowing who's giving me that grant is also not great. Like, and it's government funded. It's like so frustrating. Cause it's like, I had no idea, but again, like, you know, I've said this even in my MLM episode, like we could talk about the one thing, but if we go into everything, it's like, mm-hmm. you can't, because it's just too many things. I can't handle it. So it's like I can talk about who gives me the grant and how corrupt they are and why they're corrupt. Or we can talk about why is it just important to know and where to get the information.
Yeah.
So I think, that being said, tell us why and what you're like, what kind of changed within you when you started finding things out and going, people yeah. need to know about this.
I mean, I think that what changed for me was everyone is so focused on red or blue.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to go there.
Yeah.
Some people aren't going to like it and I don't really care.
But it is.
I'm from the south side of Chicago originally and ain't nobody got time for that.
Exactly.
My sarcasm is going to come out. It's a gift the Lord gave me. I use it.
Oh my gosh.
So like you sit up there in St. Paul and they tell you like, oh, the conservatives believe in this. Well, the Republicans believe in this and the Democrats believe in this. And it's yeah. all this game. All it is a show. And I'm saying that as a conservative. And yes, the one is the lesser of two evils when it comes to like values that I hold dear, like conservative values. But
yeah.
you're playing a football game. And for those who don't understand football, there's 100 yards. And for some reason, we have like the conservatives at the 80 or the 30 on one part, and like 10 yards away from them are the non-conservatives.
Yeah.
And the middle of the field is like 30 yards away. We're just moving this. There's actually a term for it. It's a window. Of course, I can't remember the name right now. And we're just okay. moving the paradigm further and further down the field. And all of the conservative values are at the other end, like crying in a corner.
Yeah.
And so I thought when I went to St. Paul, oh, the Republicans will save me.
Yeah.
Because they're conservative. They don't agree with abortion. They're pro-family, all of this stuff. So then when I found out that they were kind of blocking my data and I couldn't figure out why, and I followed the money, I was disappointed. Like, well, great, now who's representing us?
Right.
And I think people just assume, and I was one of these people, it won't bother me because it won't impact me. I just won't participate in those activities.
Right.
I won't utilize the public school if it's going to push this agenda of whatever. I don't even know how to describe the agenda of what's going on right now. It's no longer about education.
Yeah.
And if you send me a hate email because of this, I'm not going to read it. So I'm just telling you that. Yes. If you're listening,
I'm not going to
read. I don't read hate emails. If it starts out like, you suck and you should go jump off a bridge, delete. I don't have time for that.
I won't put your email on here. It's fine.
As my dad would say, do me a favor, lose my number.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I found out sitting up there is there's all of these bills being passed and it's all a change of money. There's lobbyists who are highly paid. I remember standing outside the Senate doors and the Senate doors opened and I'm looking down in the Capitol and there's all these people in suits and they're on their cell phones and their Blackberries or not Blackberries anymore, whatever. Some of them are on their Blackberries because they have no budgets.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're on their phones and they're down there and the doors open. And it was like a scene out of a movie. All these senators come out and they just rush them like paparazzi. And they're like asking them, they have bills they're carrying around. So bills get something called a jacket and you have to get signatures. And they're walking around trying to get these people to sign things.
Wow.
These lobbyists aren't the ones. I mean, there's lobbyists for the childcare industry. They're not there for the same reason I am. They want federal dollars. They want the bonds and the stocks and all of this nastiness tied in on the backside.
Yep.
They don't care. They know that they're going to get some kind of bonus from whoever hired them if they get this done. And the senators and representatives are somehow beholden to them, whether that be campaign finance, perhaps they own stocks.
Exactly.
Who knows? Because it's a hot mess trying to find that. And the average person gets frustrated. I sat up there and watched it all and God lifted the veil, so to speak. Right. And I think that's a lesson for everyone is we can't just say someone else will do it. They won't. Right. You have to know, or someday a law is going to be passed and you are going to be surprised. Here's a great one, great air quotes, one super sarcasm. Last session, there's House File 1 and House File 30 in Minnesota. And they were clone bills, meaning they're identical. Okay. And when they do that, it's because they're trying to push them through and one bill can get shot down and they'll just resurrect the clone and start following that bill.
Yeah.
And it was prenatal home visits. So do you want the government in your home? And people were like, oh, Beth, that will never happen. You're an extremist. And then in Washington, it happened and the governor declared a state of emergency and was talking about going into people's homes. And when the people came and testified, they were saying like, you know, we'll check to make sure the wine is at an appropriate level in your fridge and the outlet covers are in there. And I was sitting there thinking, this is absolutely asinine. Parents having government come in and people are just sleeping because they don't know.
Wow.
And they're hidden in these giant bills called omnibus bills. The last one last session was like 900 and some pages long. You have to like have a wagon to wheel it around. And the reason they do omnibus bills is because they can throw everything in them. So then they go to like someone in Timbuktu, Minnesota, and they're like, oh, hey, Johnny wants a swimming pool for his district and it's $20,000. Will you sign on to this 970-page omnibus bill if we give you $20,000 for your swimming pool? And Johnny representative says, yes, and I want $15,000 for my broccoli museum. Okay, great. We'll give you that. And then you'll sign. Great. So then that gets amended. And it turns into this hot mess of like DHS and corn palaces and Band-Aid museums. And there's a pothole in my road. It's just insane.
Yep.
It's like someone put it all in a blender, hit go. They all got what they want. The lobbyists went home happy. And Minnesota got hosed. It's like that commercial. What did dad get hosed. Yeah, we're getting hosed. So then I would sit in on other committees since I was up there and bored, which is kind of funny because then they're like rolling their eyes like, oh, great. She's moved into another area, not just health and human services and education.
So they know when you're there.
She's back. So it's going to be great when God's glory is revealed because they think that they've won in their mind. I can tell they're like, ha, ha, ha. go ahead and waste your time up here. You're not going to get anywhere. It's not about me, clowns. It's about God. So one, which really irritated me, was they said, well, if 25% of the kids are on psychotropic drugs, which are like Adderall or things of that nature, it's completely fine because then they can be tested.
Whoa.
And I literally threw a pen because I was dumb. I just threw a pen in the air because you can't say anything and you get kicked out.
Yeah.
Some weird rule like that. I wish we could wear like foam fingers.
Like a thumbs up, thumbs like down. A
thumbs up, thumbs down. Like womp, womp, womp. If I were running the meeting, that's what I would do. I'd have a button like lasers or something. So they're all sitting up there. And then a representative asked a question like, I think it's ridiculous that these kids are on psychotropic drugs because when they get into the military, they then later in life can't get in the military. And they're like, well, Representative so-and-so, that's all fine and well, but Johnny's throwing a chair, so we must drug him so he can test. Do you understand? We must drug him. Like,
yeah.
What? And everyone's at work, so they can't drive to St. Paul. Right. Some people live 4 hours away. It's just a train wreck. So they spend three to four months, depending on the year, up there bartering for our freedoms, which is a nightmare. So single subject bills have to be a thing. And there are some representatives who want them and some senators, which is, if you want to build a $20,000 pool, put it in a bill and ask for the money in a bonding bill. And if you don't want to do that, then put it in the shredder. Because I don't want an omnibus bill.
Exactly.
So I think the other important thing is it's not as hard as they want you. They want to make you think it's some complicated game. Like, first you have to get into this party. And you have to go to something called a BPOU, a base political operating unit. And then you got to get in with them. And then you have to do this. And then after a representative, you become a senator. And then you become the governor. And then you rule the world or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I'm like the one kicking the ladder and they're like, stop. Oh, it's just one person kicking the ladder. Well, we need more people kicking the ladder.
Yeah.
Because your freedoms are going to be gone. Like your medical freedom, not again to go too into the weeds, but if you don't want to have a choice soon for what's injected into your kid, then look no further than California or New York.
Right.
With vaccines, the V word. And we do a whole episode on that.
Oh, I know, right? Jeez.
And again, like, I know now someone will call me some kind of crazy anti-vax or something. No, it's just looking at both sides of it. Do you really want the government saying you can inject a biologic, it's not even a pharmaceutical product, into my child, and hey, the government says you can't sue them as of 1986. No, thank you. I don't want the government telling me what I can or can't put my body medically. Homeschooling, like whether or not parents have to test, if it's a certain type of test.
Yep.
So it's an illusion of freedom. All of that stuff is going down at the Capitol. And of course, they don't tell you that. I think the biggest shocker for me was going home and watching the news and turning it on and clicking through Fox and NBC and all of them and going, wow, this isn't what happened. And I was up there, but they're saying this happened.
And it's interesting,
just,
right?
It's just all a ruse. Or newspapers, I'd be flipping through. I'm like, literally none of this is not even accurate.
Because you were actually,
because
nobody
there.
Else is up there.
No, you have to babysit these people.
That's crazy.
They really don't like when you bring people through. I brought a group of like 30 people through and had my Facebook Live on my citizen lobbyist on. And they're like, so one representative goes, are you recording? And I said, yes, there should not be a problem because you have nothing to hide, right? Right.
Yes.
As he slowly closes his door and then you like start walking and you hear all the doors closing, like all their phones start ringing and you can hear like, there's people here. We can't let them know what we're doing. We have to protect our phony baloney jobs.
Yeah. Wow.
We could pay like $40,000 or $45,000 to sit up there.
Isn't that nuts?
And barter with our freedoms.
Isn't that crazy? Man. So if you are like, so if you're somebody that has a full-time job, how do you do anything about this?
That's a fantastic question.
Because not that you don't have a full-time job.
I know, right?
You have a little bit more freedom with your schedule. You know, it's different when you're a director of something. But like, and you're an owner. Like, owner and director of something, you have a little more freedom. Mm-hmm. You have people to work for you. But like, for somebody like me or somebody that just has a 9-to-5 job, how do you do that? Because, you know, like, it's hard to take off vacation when you actually want to go take a vacation. So it's like, you know, how do you balance that? And
I think the biggest thing is you can watch some of them online. A lot of them are recorded.
Yep.
Just be in the know. really start vetting who you're voting for.
Yeah.
Blind voting is dangerous right now. Even at local levels with city councils and things like that, blind voting becomes super dangerous right now with our freedom. And then, I mean, average people had to start running for office ultimately.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this in some kind of like, oh, their job is not hard. Number one, at the end of the day, those are our God-given rights. He gave them to us. So you don't get to go up there and say whatever you want and make laws and barter with those, because the Constitution is representative of our God-given rights. Secondly, it's not as hard as they want you to think. They want you to think you have to have a political science degree to understand this. They call it a poli-science degree. I had to Google that. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like,
Google. What's poli-sci?
What is a poli-sci degree? It sounds like some kind of Star Trek
movie. Yeah.
Did you mean political science? Oh, it's a political science degree. So people are going to school to sit in these chairs.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Lyndon Carlson who's been there for like 40-some years. They are going to have to get a new chair for whoever replaces him.
Oh, okay. He's in the same chair.
He's imprinted forever in that chair.
That's funny.
But average people need to get involved.
Yeah.
And run for office and do something different. I don't know.
Right.
It's just going to take one or two people who are like, you know what? I'm not going to play this game anymore. I'm tired of it. And even if you lose, you're going to go down swinging.
Right.
And that's that.
Because you made your points. You did what God asked you to do. And that's the thing is like, I've been talking about this a lot in a lot of my episodes, but like when God calls you into something, don't be afraid. It's kind of like the Moses story, you know? Don't ask. I mean, we're human, that we're sinners. That's what we do, is say, pick somebody else. Please don't pick me. Like, do not want to do this. And I think like somebody like you is called into being in the political world. I think there's other people that are called into doing something different. Maybe it's about something else, you know, like that they have to stand up against. For instance, the Super Bowl halftime show. I followed many people that were posting about it and getting creamed for it because people don't think it's okay to talk against something so terrible, you know? So things like that, we'll get into that, but like,
pay no attention y'all to know how I think.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here, ladies and gentlemen.
Just children in cages. It's fine. Everything's fine. So
I think that's right. I think that you're right though. And to the timeline, you know, like I had this whole plan mapped out. I was going to be a Lutheran school teacher and I was going to get married and have 2.7 children, by the age of 29. And then I'd be a stay at home mom. And then I go back to work when they were in school and God's like, record screech.
Yeah.
But you can't, I could choose to focus on that. I think that's hard for some people who look at my husband and I and are like, oh, you don't have kids yet.
Yeah.
Why aren't you focusing on that?
Because that's the norm.
Because that's the norm. And God ultimately is in control of my womb, which freaks people out. But I can pray that in his time, he opens my womb and we have a child, which he's shown me will be a little girl.
Okay, Rachel.
So there's that.
There's Rachel. There's who else? Rebecca. All the other ladies in the Bible.
The other ladies in the Bible.
That it's like you're okay with not being normal. And I think there's so many, that's kind of something else to talk about, but there's so many people, like you said, that just live the high school, college, marriage, kids, job, retirement, travel. Like that's what everybody does, because that's what everybody does. Like they just follow whoever, you know, is doing that. And so I think even like us, you know, I'm not going to talk about what our decisions are right now because I want to announce it another day. But like with our family plans right now, it's like, it's different. And I think God is calling us to be different. And like, I can't remember where the Bible verse is, but it's do not be of the world, but be in the world.
Yeah.
And that can come down to anything. But I think just talking about this specific thing of not doing everything everybody's doing is it's so being of the world when you're just following the standard. And so I think, sure, we live in this terrible world, but I think like it's not our home, right? And we can focus on God and where he's going to, you know, redeem everything someday. And it's going to be really fun to see.
Yeah.
And like you and I have talked about this with Jen, and like even Jen and I have talked about it separately, but like this is the year of revelation, like not revelation. What's the word you use?
Oh, revival.
Revival. That's not revelation. I don't think that's happening yet, which I don't know. It could. But of revival, like I really see that happening, and I think big things are going to happen. Yeah. I'm excited to see God use you, and
for such a time as this.
For such a time as this.
Esther.
Yep, I know. And so I think there's so, but oh, I wanted to say before we stop this, I don't want to forget. I'm going to put in the show notes. You wrote a blog.
Oh, yes.
About Moses, about the burning bush.
So I have a blog, Confessions of an Almost Ex Overachiever. I need to get better at doing it. I go through spurts, so there's not a whole lot on there.
It's not like you have anything else going on.
I know. It's true. I should get back into it, but there's some things that are, that, I mean, I'm obviously conservative, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wrote a blog post after I had that little discussion with God.
Yeah.
And then it published it, so the date is out there and people can see. And then 3 days later, the state called. And that's a blog I wrote too.
Okay, you have to send that to me so I can put in the show notes so people can be like, okay, this girl's not crazy. You know, I mean, it's okay to be crazy.
I think that people struggle with different spiritual gifts. And
For sure.
I think that's the biggest part of the box. Like, there's the ecclesia, which is the whole church on earth. It's all of the believers. And then that's a whole nother conversation, 501c3s, but these different denominations who argue more about these different aspects of how to translate a verse or whatever. And in the meantime, I just can't put God in a box.
No. So, which is so cool because I think your faith has grown over the last few years.
Oh yeah.
Like in insane ways. It's just so cool to watch. But on that note, I'm going to say thanks for coming, and it's, well, you'll have to come back again because we have plenty of things to talk about.
We can talk about whatever you want.
I know. So I'm glad you decided to share your story, and I'm excited for people to hear it. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed today's episode, it would mean a lot to me if you would like, comment, share, or subscribe. Feel free to follow me on Instagram at Kylie Jo Silva. Also, please send me people who you think should share their story with the world. Thanks for tuning in.